Okay, Morena, and welcome to the second day of our Advisory Council meeting. I trust everybody enjoyed and had a relaxing dinner last night and slept well, and those of us who come from a long way away didn't suffer too much, or are not suffering too much from jet lag. But we will try to keep everybody awake today, and again, your input into the foundation is most appreciated for today. Our first session today, I have great pleasure in introducing Erkki Liikanen, who is the new chair of the trustees. And this obviously is his first meeting at the Advisory Council. I was, as I intimated yesterday, privileged to be able to attend their meeting and Erkki's first meeting chairing the trustees in Kuala Lumpur in January. And I'm hoping and expecting that Erkki is going to share, obviously, some of the information that was discussed at that meeting, but also a little bit about himself and his views on where the foundation might be heading. So I'm not going to introduce him any more formally than that. Allow him to do his own introductions. And Erkki, over to you.
Thank you very much, Joanna. As mentioned, I followed Michel Prada as chair of trustees, and the first meeting was in January, Kuala Lumpur. Thank you, Joanna, for participating. Joanna informed about your activities in our meeting, and her comments were very, very well received. In a nutshell, the task of the trustees is to be responsible for the strategy, nominations, and funding of the organizations. So we don't go to micromanagement of standard setting, but these major oversight tasks belong to us. We discussed the global trends as the base for strategy broadly in January. Joanna informed about your discussion yesterday, and I must say that they're very much the same themes which are on the agenda. So I don't want to repeat that, but it was very helpful and enriching to hear about your discussions. We are on the same map. Perhaps a couple of words about my background and connection to your field. I served in European Commission for almost 10 years, from 1995 to 2004. That was a period when the discussion about relationship between EU and IFRS Foundation were discussed. And after long positive debate, we came to the conclusion that EU will endorse IFRS standards. I was at the time responsible for internet, ICT, ICANN, the other related issues. And actually, ICANN was in a way a similar type of organization. It was led by technical, high-quality experts, but its governance structure was outside our control. So the conclusion was that Al Gore invented internet, but we gave it to him. So, but we cannot create European internet, the European governance for internet. It must be a global one, and that we took that conclusion. For IFRS, it was the same. So EU became a strong supporter after having started to endorse these standards. The second comment, which is a very recent one, because my recent discussion linked to IFRS took place last week in Geneva, outside my work as a chairman of the trustees. I'm a member of the Finance Committee of the International Federation of Red Cross Societies. Used to be the chairman of Finnish Red Cross for a long time. And the Finance Committee is responsible for analyzing the financial position of the International Red Cross to guarantee that the money will go right to the purposes which was collected. And that's a list of issues is always very serious. We went through, for instance, earthquakes in Indonesia, crisis in Syria, Turkey, how people can be moved in Turkey, what is happening in Libya. Unfortunately, if the meeting had been this week, we could talk today about Mozambique. So it's a real issue. I mean, we talk about lives, people, really in danger. At the same time, the question came that when we collect money from donors, private citizens, organizations, companies, they must know how we control the funding, how we guarantee that money will go to those people in need. I've not heard so much discussion about IFRS for a long time, I heard in this meeting. And the Secretariat of International Federation of Red Cross wanted to make sure and convince us that Red Cross is following IFRS standards. It's not by obligation, it's by their own will, because donors want to know what are the standards we apply, what is the level of transparency we do in our financial reporting, and IFRS being chosen. I think it's a very good sign of the purpose. Even an organization without obligation has chosen this way, and there can't be more difficult territory where they are working. By chance, my first contact with big audit firms was when I was working for my first African project in 1969. I was a high school student. It was in Mozambique. I went to see the auditor, and it was called Cooper Brothers in Dar es Salaam. It was a rather small firm, but there are many who know these roots today. When we had our last meeting, actually, in Joburg last year, which was chaired by Michel Prada, we had our very respected South African member, Weisman Nukule, for the last time. He's a respected academic, accountant, black person who served in prison. I was in prison in Rhode Island during the difficult years. When he was in his last meeting, said that for Africa, open information, transparent standards are the only possibility, because nobody will invest money if they can't trust their financial reporting is correct and transparent. And that's for them critical, most important issue. So it's important to remember that when we discuss here how to promote our standards, how to enlarge the outreach, these kind of issues like Red Cross or African investments, they see that that's the only way. We need trust of investors, we need to be transparent, our reporting must be something which is understood by all and respected by everybody. Finally, I'm not an accountant, but I've been working a lot with accountants and external auditors because I was a chairman of the ECB's audit committee for 10 years. I was also in European Commission and in Finnish government responsible for budget and finance, which means that internal and external auditors were my daily partners. And a little earlier also, I was chairman of trustees of a leading European company in multi-metal technology area by name Outokumpu, when it went public. And when this kind of state-owned company goes public, you are deeply involved with your financial reporting. Then just briefly about IFRS. It's really important to consolidate our global reach and build upon the achievements of recent years. We all see the developments in the world today, and I understood your visitor yesterday spoke about that also at length. Backdrop of challenges to globalization, and also with it, the difficulties faced by multilateral institutions in general, but also those establishing global standards. The European Commission organized last autumn a fitness check consultation. The idea was to ask stakeholders what do they think about the IFRS standards, are they fit for purpose? And it was important in fitness test because it was not only for European participants, it was global. So also many non-Europeans took part of it. And the conclusion was very clear. Large majority of respondents supported the EU's long-term support for IFRS standards as the global standard. And the main reason is the same which I mentioned here earlier. The benefits that companies and investors see in everybody speaking the same high quality and globally accepted language of financial reporting. That was exactly the same message I got in Red Cross, in Geneva last week, we got in our fitness consultation in Brussels. Second, of course, the challenge is always for us to ensure that IFRS standards remain relevant in the changing world. We have done well, but complacency would be bad and arrogance would be a sin. And for that reason, we must understand, we must listen, and we must take the and show that we have understood what people say. People are not only interested in the, let's say, traditional pure financial statements. Of course, reporting has always some financial consequences. They are not non-financial, but not just traditional pure financial statements. They want to know about the company's sustainability and environmental impact, what sort of risks these companies are faced in the long term. So that area we need to work. We need to understand the question, and we need to try to find replies. I know Hans spoke yesterday about the management commentary, and is one good opportunity in this area. Finally, and that's my last comment, the question of remaining relevant in the digital world is, of course, also critical. Where I come from, I'm in the central banking, financial market area. This big data issue is huge, because people are collecting, analyzing live data which is coming. Of course, it's not the same with us here, but what is, of course, changed is that digital reporting makes everything faster. It can be analyzed also with artificial intelligence, and we must be able to respond to these changes. And here, there are many replies which are being given. One is, of course, the taxonomy by IFRS, which supports the electronic filing and consumption of IFRS-compliant financial information. And also, here, the IFRS, we have started to work to make ourselves digitally as capable as possible. But I'm sure Lee will say a word about that, too. So I'm very happy to be part of this big family. And I came here to learn, not to lecture. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Erkki. Some very insightful comments there, and I think your Red Cross and African examples are really great examples of why everything that this big family, as you say, does is so, so important, and the relevance. And I love that expression that complacency would be bad, arrogance a sin, and that came out in our discussion yesterday. Sue raised the comment about complacency. So what I might do is ask Lee to continue. Well, I was thinking, do we want to do questions or any comments? Okay, Lee's suggesting he'll wait a little bit.
Of all people.
So, does anyone have any comments or questions or challenges of Erkki that they would like to make at this time? He is going to be with us all day today, so you will have an opportunity to meet with him at the breaks or lunch or later if you so wish. Okay, in which case, Lee, to carry on with your report.
Lovely, thank you, Chair. Good morning, Council. The section I wanted to cover was just to give you a bit more colour and detail behind the most recent conversations the trustees had at their meeting in KL. There's probably about four areas that I wanted to touch on, and some of which we've already alluded to in some of our other sessions. The first was there was a considerable amount of time spent by our due process oversight committee in KL, and really that was bringing to a head all of the work that we previously had done around our consultations in order to get ourselves to a position regarding the exposure draft of the handbook going out. Now, I know a number of you, even yesterday, were asking me about that timing. The timing will of the exposure draft be in April, so please, those that have the keen interest in that area and wish to respond, it will be April of this year that exposure draft will come out. Some of you had specific questions for me as well, which I think hopefully I've been able to answer. But if others have particular questions around either the process, the content, where there's potential changes coming to the handbook, please reach out to me. Also, Richard's here, who's been heavily involved in that work as well, but happy to assist council in whichever way we can regarding a due process. The second area was around strategy. So there is a really good alignment between a number of elements of what the trustees were discussing in KL and some of what Ian McCafferty spoke about yesterday in our first session. So we're at a stage where we are just simply pulling together some of the thinking and insights that the trustees made around some of the global trends in KL, and that was in particular, and you felt this yesterday as well with Ian's remarks around the trade-off with the globalisation and the protectionism, and some of the commentary yesterday will then feed directly into the next stages of the work that we'll be doing with the trustees as well. So, Joanne, I really see further work coming back here as we continue to build the pace around any of the activities and thinking that we're doing. But probably my reach right this morning to council members would be, if you're sensing around expectations from other groups that you're engaged with around what you feel expectations of what the foundation should be looking at going forward, that now would be very welcomed input as well. It's not the only point in which we'll receive that feedback, but I would certainly welcome it. So expectations looking forward of what the foundation could be involved with. The third area was really, again, me trying to make sure there's connectivity between the conversations and the advice we've been receiving from this council and the engagement that we're having with the trustees. Nearly in her update yesterday, that was a very good report around what had occurred in the last 18 months and where things had got to. One element was around talent, and you recall in our September meeting of this council, there was breakout sessions discussing, you know, at a high level around our push around attraction and retention, our battle for the global talent. And taking that one level down, some of the steps that were suggested here we could do. We took that feedback into a session with the trustees, but overlaid that again with some feedback we'd been receiving from our own people through our engagement index. So we ran an employee engagement survey in November of last year. That has given us a number of themes as well to follow up on, and those fit well, quite well, with some of the advice and suggestions coming from council as well. So again, I can see as we move through perhaps to another 12-month period or so, we would then wish to return talking to council around some of the actions we've taken, particularly around growth and development, which was a major theme coming from this group, and then again taking a little bit looking forward as we continue to focus in on our people and obviously around attraction and retention. So considerable time spent at trustees in that area, overlaying with our employee engagement feedback. The final one I wanted to advise, but also then get some feedback either in this session or out of session, was what Erky had alluded to around technology. Again, council members, you might recall there was a diagram that Nilly had put up at an earlier session around the six phases of the technology, some of which is focused around, obviously, around our taxonomy. But there were three areas that I just wanted to spend a little bit more time around, which is what we're now looking at, a full upgrade around our technology capability at the foundation. So a business case was presented to the trustees at that meeting in KL. Very pleasingly, the approval was given by the trustees for myself and my executive team to then lead the development of our new focus around technology. There are three phases to the program of work that we're doing. The first is what you might describe some stabilisation that we need to do with our technology platforms. Some of our platforms have served us very well, but over time have become more bespoke or customised than what we would probably like them to be. So we're very conscious around how we transition from that phase into the next phases of our technology platform. And so we are managing that in a quite a precise way to make sure we've got good connectivity around where we're currently at to where we see our new technologies going forward. Some of the advice we received at the time of the discussion around the business case with the trustees was a little along the lines of, okay, Lee and team, this is all well and fine about thinking about the new technologies, but as you would know, some of the more stronger challenges come with the shaping of the culture and the behaviours around the utilisation of these new technologies. So we've got a phase of our work which is running concurrently around what you might describe as the modernisation of our processes. So ideally, as we start to change the technologies, we've got to help encourage, work with our people as those processes start to change around that technology as well. So those two streams, you might say, would be, yeah, I've heard that that would happen in most organisations. And whilst they're generally well known, the challenges are still there as to how effective we can make those challenges to be. So the trustees are holding my accountability and my team's accountability very much not only on how we move to new technologies, but in effect the efficiencies that we deliver in the way our processes are changing. Then the third element, and I'll look towards my colleague Mark here because this is his great passion as well. The third phase, so after stabilisation and doing our modernisation, we've also got some work around thinking about our digital experience. And this, council members, is one area I would welcome your insights, your advice, what might be occurring in your organisations, even still at a fairly formative stage. So either, again, through the formalities of the session or outside of, I would really appreciate your assistance and advice. What we're trying to do in this third stream of digital experience and engagement is really think about how we can deliver a stronger sense of experience for those many that engage with us in different ways. So the sense of the experience using the technology is quite exciting. We've got to make sure we understand how that experience for those not only around this table, but as I've said, the many that wish to engage with us can be enhanced. So we're thinking around a part of how our new CRM may operate in this space, how some of that CRM may then ultimately connect to other points of focus such as LinkedIn or whatever we wish to create in that space. But clearly some of our desire, and notwithstanding our requirements around due process, is to make sure that we can put as much information as appropriate into the hands of those wishing to engage with us as swiftly as we can, and for us to then feel the sense of feedback in that engagement as well. So that's sort of at a conceptual level, and Mark, I may not have done justice to that, so I know you say this and express it in a much better way than myself, but how you then unpack that down to a much more detailed level is where some of our challenges will be. And I'm sure those challenges are in each of your organisations as well, but perhaps of a different nature and style. So let me sort of then recapture where we're at. The trustees approved in KL for us to proceed with the investment, and the investment is approximately £5 million over a number of years to upgrade our technology to deliver stronger efficiencies, particularly through the modernisation of our processes, and also encourages within appropriate boundaries to think much more around this digital experience or digital engagement that we can have as well. Obviously, for that sum of investment, the trustees have now formally approved a committee. That committee will be led by Werner Brandt, one of our trustees, but someone in his prior life has had huge experience not only in technology but also of the running of large-scale projects. And he will be working on behalf of the trustees with us as the executive team to deliver the appropriate milestones as we work through the program. So we're looking forward to this. We see certainly a vast majority of the work occurring during 2019 and 20. And so we're right at this phase where we're just putting all the appropriate project management and accountabilities in place. We're using a stage gate approach, and we think that will be the right piece for us. So I might pause there. I look back to you, Joanna, as to if there's any further comments or questions.
Thank you very much, Lee. Are there any questions or comments of Lee? And just before, James, I come to you, just put something out there in a thought that Lee gave the challenge to us in terms of what can we as members do to help in relation to the digital program that the foundation is going through. And those of you who've been on the council for a little while will remember that we did have an initial foray into this area and looking at that and did provide some advice. But I'm now conscious of, and particularly coming out of the discussions that you had yesterday about the role of the council and our self-review, and one of the groups made a specific comment about the skills sitting around this table and saying we didn't necessarily need all those skills, however, we are senior people in our organisations and we can go to the people in our organisations and get the specific skills that we need. And somebody made the suggestion that we could even have a virtual group of some of those people with specific skills to work with the foundation. And so what I'm wondering, I've jumped about five steps ahead as to whether that might be a possibility for you to think about if there are particular people in your organisations who have skills around the digital CRM, that kind of area, that could work as a virtual group with Mark and his team in terms of both bouncing ideas off, you know, obviously there is sensitive information, but perhaps think about that and maybe any discussion on that now, or we might just approach and see whether we can try and set something up like that. But James.
Thank you, Joanna. It's actually, I'm asking for a little bit of clarification. With the self-review discussion we had yesterday, it was mentioned that the terms of reference of this council may change, and I was trying to understand, will that be part of the due process oversight committee's exposure draft, or is that as a consequence of that exposure draft, or I was just trying to figure out what was expected.
I might have a little go at answering that and then pass to Richard if I get that wrong. It is as a consequence, James, and by saying that they will change, it's not saying that the scope of what we actually physically do sitting in this room each time we meet will change. It is more making sure that the terms of reference reflect what we actually do, and so slight tweaking of the emphasis in there. And so it's as a consequence of the due process. And if I've not made it any clearer, I might actually get Richard to make a comment.
I'll make a comment, not least because it's taken so long to get the microphone across, that it's a shame not to take advantage of it. The changes to the constitution that we're proposing on the back of the due process oversight committee's review of the handbook really are consequential. It's really just ensuring that the constitution reflects the role that the advisory council plays for us, as we discussed yesterday, advising on strategy rather than on standards. Whenever we put something out to comment, we don't know what comments we're going to get back, so we'll be getting comments both on the handbook and on the constitution. And we thought it was appropriate not to readdress the terms of reference until we get those comments and we've had a chance to look at them. The timing works very well. The closing date for the review of the handbook will probably be June or early July, which means that we're very well placed to come back to this committee, this council in September, and then go to the trustees in October.
Surya.
Thank you, Joanna. I'll pick on your second point about the engagement with the digital world and CRM. I think all of us, as you rightly say, will have people in our organizations who can help Mark, and I certainly will do my bit through my organization and region. But there's a broader issue I want to raise. There are philosophical differences between what we try to achieve and what those people try to achieve. A common refrain we have in our rooms is high quality accounting standards. A common refrain they believe in is minimum viable product. These are at two ends of the spectrum. We want perfection, they want to fail fast. Are you prepared to issue 10 standards and withdraw 9? I'm not sure we'll go that way. But these are some of the challenges you're going to face. Giving up a jacket and tie for the T-shirt is the easiest thing. It's these other issues that will come to the fore.
Good point. Yeah, fail fast is not necessarily, I think, in the language of the IFRS Foundation, and you could tell that if you probably can't see it from down there, but the look on Lee's face when you suggested that, Surya. Do you want to comment?
I would, so thank you very much, and really understand the reflection from you. I suppose for us, no, that's not where we want to be, but we do want to just start to ask ourselves some of the questions around how we can improve what we're currently doing. I think if you don't at least have that open mind to thinking about then necessarily taking all of the steps, it feels to me that our sense of what we could deliver is not going to be truly fulfilled. So we've had great success over many years in what we've been able to achieve, but equally we've got to keep thinking in watching how others are doing certain steps, whether there's some learnings we could take from that as well.
Thank you for that. I'd just add one more comment. It's we appreciate the support from the trustees to have given you that budget, but it pales into comparison when you look at all the budgets that exist in the digital world. So you're also going to be chasing your tail on some of those things. So. But we'll do the best with what we have.
Fully understood, and that's why I'm reaching out not only to this great council, but many other places as well. So our brand does receive great support in many ways other than just monetary support as well.
Thanks, Surya. Giuseppe?
To follow up on Surya's point, I would very much like to congratulate Lee. I would very much like to congratulate Lee on how he articulated the challenge of upgrading the technology in relation to culture. For me, to culture and adopting the technology, getting employees to adopt the technology. I think one should not be overly ambitious. I don't think that you want to turn the IFRS Foundation in a high-tech startup. Typically, the culture of financial organization and regulatory organization doesn't jibe very well with culture, but I think that you can get to a good adaptation. There is a reason why the web was invented at CERN, where I was, by the way, by a bank or a financial organization. So I think one has to take a pragmatic attitude. Don't look at the budget. Maybe some people have a higher budget, but they will waste it. One has to be very pragmatic. And congratulations again.
Thank you. Giuseppe, and I thank both Surya and Giuseppe in terms of that, if you like, I wrote down concern. I don't think concern is the right word, but just being conscious of some of those things around the digital. Are there other, and those two comments resonated with me in terms of that's advice, and I did ask for comments or questions earlier. Is there any other advice from what you heard from Lee around, and Erki, that we would like from what came out of that trustees meeting that you think would be useful advice back from us on those things? No? Okay, in which case, unless there is a last word from either you or you, Erki, we might move on to the next session.
I can do the next piece just a little bit. And then pass.
Okay, and I'm going to, so the next session we've got the strategic shareholder, stakeholder.